Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Mariota in the shotgun. This time over the middle, it's picked off. It's Chris Harris on the return. And Harris caught from behind. Mariota in trouble. Spins away. Throws on the run. And it is picked off. Justin Simmons. And we do have a quarterback change as Ryan Tannehill is coming into the game. He's kneeled down twice this year. Yet to throw a pass in a Titans uniform acquired in a trade with Miami in March. Tannehill. Keeping it alive. Now throws. Picked off. Kareem Jackson. For Tennessee, that's going to be a long flight home and a lot to think about for the Titans. Final score, Denver wins 16-0.
I don't feel great. And, you know, coach made a decision and, you know, he's going to make a decision that's best for the team. So, you know, I respect it and, you know, I just try to be there for Ryan.
I mean, I'll reevaluate, you know, with John and the coaching staff, but, you know, I'll let you know as soon as I figure it out and do what's best for the team.
All right, let's get it going. Morning Drive live here on a Monday. And you let us know, Coach, when you figure it out and get back to us when you have some answers. Because that was, boys, I'm telling you, I think we've all watched a ton of football in our lives. Derek Mason, you've been on this planet for, what, 45 years. Braden and I, a little bit less. And we've all seen bad football. But that was one of the most unimaginative, unproductive, uninspiring, unwatchable football games that I have ever sat through as a kid. As a college student, as a young adult, as a grown man, and whatever the hell I am today at 35 years old. And I knew that it was over the moment I saw the tweets come out from Jim Wyatt that Roger Saffold was named a game captain. The fact that Roger Saffold is a game captain as a $44 million bust, I knew it would be 3 hours of unwatchable television. What a disgrace yesterday was.
I think, and you guys can tell me what you think about this as well, and it's not just, I mean, the Titans are the part of this that we're going to focus on. The Broncos didn't do anything to make that game entertaining either. They were god-awful. I'm with you. It's one of the most unwatchable things I've ever seen in sports since starting radio in Nashville for me. Since John Robinson took over, this is his fourth season, correct? Mm-hmm. 16, 17, 18, and now, you know, six games into 2019. That is among the worst performances a John Robinson GM'd football team has put on the field. I would say the, 11 sacks against Baltimore last year in a just a complete whitewashing by the Ravens against, by the way, Joe Flacco. I think a 12-7 loss on the road late in the year when they needed a win, when Blaine Gabbert started for Arizona, when Carson Palmer, I believe, was injured, and they lost 12-7 against Arizona with Blaine Gabbert as their quarterback, I think that is amongst the worst losses. I think those are the three that come to mind. Defensively, everyone... You know, Dean Pease and everybody else on the defense, you were immune from conversation today. You guys did your jobs. You guys were fantastic yesterday again. But everyone else in the organization, from the very top to the very last person, deserves the blame and the criticism for that performance. It's one of the two or three worst performances I've seen from a John Robinson GM'd team since he got here, period.
It was bad yesterday. Watching it, the team never – seemed as if they were going to generate anything on offense. The defense, yes, they played good, but they also gave up, you know, another huge run. They gave up another huge pass play. You know, the special teams was bad.
Big
start the game off, the special teams was bad. We didn't know what the kicker. We don't know what the kicker is because we didn't get a chance to see the kicker, the place kicker. So, you know, this is what you don't want to have when you have a team, because, you know, this is where, you know, we talk about the maturity and the leadership of a locker room. This is where it starts to kick in when the offense is playing like kindergartners and the defense is holding their own, and it could be a riff in the room. You know, the defense is screaming, you know, what are y'all guys doing? You know, we're holding our end of the bargain, and y'all can't even put up 7 points. And the offense is, you know, they're trying to figure it out. So this is where it's going to be tested for the Titans. You know, the leadership, the finger pointing. This is where it's going to be tested. If this is a team with veteran leadership that's together, you know, they're going to, you know, lose together and they're going to win together. They're not going to point no fingers. If this is a fractured locker room because the defense is playing so well and the offense is inept, then you're going to start to see slowly but surely, you know, things that happen with bad locker rooms, whether it be information coming out the locker room, whether it be skirmishes on the sideline, whether it be disagreements between offense and defense, and it starts to verbally be being seen, whether it be on camera or during a game or, you know, through the media. So this is where the Titans got to hunker down. And it doesn't help when your starting quarterback gets benched.
This offense is just so ungodly unwatchable because they have the second most punts. I mean, forget 7 points. You said they couldn't get 7 points. They can't get first downs. I mean, they rack up three and outs like it's, you know, in their contracts, like they're going to get bonuses for doing so. Second most punts in the NFL, trailing only the Jets. And the Jets at least have an excuse. Their quarterback had mono for a month. The Titans lead the NFL in plays that result in lost yardage.
Oh, that
with 49.
One. They had 10 yesterday.
I mean, it's you can't. I don't know how you draw up something like this so unwatchable. I mean, Arthur Smith was hired as the OC, and a lot of it's the offensive line, and he's limited with what he can do when your line is that bad. But, I mean, this guy was given the job because he was, quote, a no-brainer. There was never a thought in the organization of going on the outside. Like, Vrabel wanted to name this guy the guy from day one when LaFleur left.
Yeah, I think the coordinator is a big part of this issue. I think Arthur Smith is a big part of this. And listen, the coordinator always is the easy target. We're always going to point to the coordinator. Fans always point to the coordinator, but there's nothing that I've seen from this coordinator that shows evolution, that shows the ability to make an adjustment. The game plan from the beginning this time, like at least they've had some decent game plans from the beginning in past games. That wasn't even the case this weekend. They had nothing from the beginning, and clearly, I mean, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the quarterback here, obviously, but clearly it didn't matter. The quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, was sacked more times and had just as many negative plays as Marcus did, so that it didn't matter yesterday. The offensive line couldn't do anything. I look at this collection of players, and I go, Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, Delanie Walker, and I know they tried to get the ball to Delanie Walker a little bit more yesterday, which I think is something that they've got to do. Arthur Smith has got to get Delanie Walker the football. AJ Brown, like they're not terrible football players. Like these are not bad players. Like there were Titans teams a couple years ago where all their skill weapons were bad players. These are not bad players. And the quarterback is not playing well. The offensive line is stopping everything. The offensive line brings everything to a screeching halt. The 44, and think about this. You've got your star left tackle who's the highest paid guy in the league who misses the first four games and is getting false start penalties. You've got your $44 million free agent who was a good football player for the majority of his career and now cannot bust a grape to save his life in pass protection. Your right tackle, his entire future is uncertain because you didn't pick up the fifth-year option on him. You're not sure. The only guy that we really know is just not talented enough to play is probably Ben Jones, and he might be your most consistent player right now. You've got a rookie making his second start ever in his career on the right side at right guard. That group is not giving any of the other players an opportunity to do anything.
Well, when they do, the quarterback holds on to the ball too long. And this is what I want to figure out, because there were times where Marcus had an opportunity. He had time to throw the football. The Denver Broncos didn't start really, that defense didn't really kick in until like the third quarter, midway through the third quarter, fourth quarter. before that, Marcus had time to throw the football. And he barely got hit. What I'm trying to figure out is, if it's not off coverage, why in the hell these receivers can't get open? And I'm going to take a look at the film the coaches watched this week, because it was just amazing how Marcus was sitting back there. Either he's not seeing it, or they're not getting open.
Well, and then
they get open when it's off coverage. Yeah, when it's off coverage and they show the pass completions, those guys are like 10 yards off.
Or
and
both.
Exactly. It could be both.
Yeah.
Well, how about just the simple flare out from Derrick Henry that he sails over his head and Derrick Henry falls on his butt? I mean, a little simple swing screen for Derrick Henry, you know, check down, flare out of the backfield. They couldn't complete that yesterday.
And Derrick's looking over the wrong shoulder for that, and Marcus flies it over his head. Yeah. Like they're both wrong, right? Like, it's just, listen, I spent a lot of time in my own bathtub yesterday, because you guys had some fun with my expense on Twitter yesterday.
Time to drain it.
Which again, I never put myself in that bathtub. You put baby in the bathtub, okay? Not me. You put me there. We've got plenty of things to say about the quarterback coming up in just a few minutes. But this was a collection. This is a collective failure. Again, I think Dean Pease and the defensive players are immune to this, and Brett Kern. He's immune from this as well. I'm going to take Brett Kern and the defense I'm taking them off the table.
I'm putting Brett Kern in.
That is just mean-spirited.
Yeah, I'm putting him in. He should have scored. Should have scored, damn it.
Line him up at quarterback, for God's sakes. In fact, I think I saw some tweets like punt on first down. I think I saw a few of those.
Yeah, hope for a fumbled punt and you get a short field.
Because at least you won't go backwards. If you keep punting on first down, eventually they'll muff one, and eventually you'll get the ball down on their end of the territory. This is the first time, I think, in years that I've looked at this team. The Baltimore game last year was alarming, but they had so many good wins around the Baltimore game that I don't think it was as concerning. Certainly a concern on the offensive line. But this is the first time I think you look at the top, the middle, the coaching staff, the bottom, the quarterback, the offensive line. This is the first time where I think you ask the coach, why the hell weren't you prepared to play that game? You ask the coordinator, why the hell didn't you make adjustments? You made your change at quarterback, and it didn't do anything. Not that there was a lot of time left in the game. The offensive line is as bad today as it was in week one, week two, week three. The offensive line coach. Everybody is on trial on the offense, as far as I'm concerned, but it goes all the way past Vrabel. It goes up to Vrabel, and it goes past Vrabel to John Robinson, because this is the first time I've seen a team that looked completely uninspired and completely unprepared to play a football game. And that's on everybody. That's from top to bottom. That goes to everybody.
I said last week Cairo Santos needed to lose his job, and he did on Monday. And I also said last week Keith Carter needs to be fired, the offensive line coach. I mean, I don't know how this guy continues to keep his job. The Bills and the Broncos are two teams that were in the bottom five in the league in sacks entering the week they played the Titans, and they unleashed a pass rush like they were a premier group.
Yeah, they did. This offense hasn't figured out a way to consistently do things consistent. One thing I do commend them, they stick with the run, and they're going to have to. But in the passing game, it's feast or famine with them almost. You know, they get a big play, then you don't see any plays. Then they get another big play here or there, and you figure, okay, this is what this offense can be. And then you don't hear about the passing game, you know, for a quarter and a half or two quarters. I'm trying to figure it out. Is it the quarterback or is it the receivers? Because when the quarterback has time, nobody's getting open. You can't blame the offensive line. You can't, from first glance, you can't blame the quarterback.
Oh, Tannehill had three or four dropbacks where he had just had ages.
Yeah, he was.
Ages.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was this offensive line for the other guy? And he still couldn't find anybody to throw the ball to.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is it the offensive? Is it the quarterback? Is it the receivers? And, they're going to have to. Anybody can get open on off coverage. What can you do when the coverage is tighter?
615-737-1025. The number, Titans fans, let's hear from you. 737-1025. Your reaction to yesterday's disgraceful performance. And I'm telling you, I tweeted this out last night. CBS executives should have dumped out of the Titans game early and went to 60 minutes. You could have just bailed on the whole telecast. Just get to 60 minutes if I was running CBS.
I hate late kickoffs, too, by the way.
Brutal.
Just because of my kids.
Brutal.
It's totally selfish.
I'm sweating out bets and fantasy games on the Red Zone channel for 3 hours, and then I got to watch that?
It's totally selfish. I get to spend time with my kids when they have noon kickoffs because they nap during the Titans games, which, by the way, is probably what a Titans fan should do. Titans fans should probably do what my three-year-old does during noon kickoff games and go to bed.
Basically.
That's what they should do. But at least I get to, you know, this interrupted family time.
Yep.
All right? This interrupted time with my daughters. I had to watch that crap during time when I'm supposed to be spending it with my kids. Let's get back into the regular time zones and kick off at noon, please.
All right, Titans fans, let's hear from you. 737-1025. Your calls all morning long. This should be a good one. It's Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 1025. The game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise. Your Titans calls, 737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 as we try to make sense of what we watched yesterday. Because, boys, that's 3 hours of our lives. We will never get back a 16-0 shutout at the hands of the 1-4 Broncos.
Yeah, and I think, D, you were the one who said, last week, you know, what is this stadium going to look like coming up if they were to lose to Denver? And so I think we've got all week to dread what that's going to look like, because that stadium, I can't imagine, is going to be
a ghost town.
Overly inspired to watch that team play football. Now, here's the thing. The season, this is not over. Like, you have, 11 more games to go, 10 more games to go in a sport where how many divisions are being led right now by 3-3 teams? Like, this is not – you still have to try to compete for this year. The reason you signed Saffold and Adam Humphreys to all these big contracts is that you're trying to win today. You feel like you have the defense and all the other personnel to win today, and it's not happening. But it still doesn't mean you're not – I mean, you're still 2 games out of first place in the division. It's still so early that anything can happen. So you can't punt on the season, even as atrocious as the football has been the last game or two. You still can't punt on the season. You're not just going to give up. So I don't know where you go from here.
No, you don't give up. But what makes it so bad is look at what everyone else is doing in the division, minus Jacksonville, because I think Jacksonville and the Titans right now, Jacksonville might be the third best team, the Titans the last team in a conference. But what Indy and Houston are doing, they're just separating themselves further and further away from Jacksonville and the Titans. And that was a win they needed. It wasn't a make-or-break win, but it was a win they needed.
I just don't know how anybody on the offensive side of the football walks past anybody on the defensive side of the football in that locker room with any sense of self-pride, dignity, or respect. Like, that defense has held opponents to 20 points or less every game this year, and they're 2-4.
They're averaging like 15.8 points per game given up. Everyone else in that territory is like 18-3. I think the stat is 18-3. The other teams that are allowing that number or better. And listen, I thought the defensive players, to their credit yesterday, if you listen to all the post-game stuff, I think the two things you took away, all the defensive players said all the right things. It doesn't mean they're not frustrated. It doesn't mean they're not angry with the offense and behind closed doors. But they said all the right things. We got to stick together. We're a team. And the offensive players, you could just tell yesterday talking to them, listening to them, that they are at their wit's end with what they're doing. They fully understand that they are letting this team down. There's no question about that. You listen to Derrick Henry and Delaney and these guys talk, and they are very well aware of what's going on.
615-737-1025. Let's start it off on the phones. Zach is first up this morning on Morning Drive. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
I'm good.
I don't even know where to begin, honestly. I wanted to call in and just complain, and I feel like there's just so much I can say.
We are your therapy for the next 4 hours.
Take your pick. We've got 5 days this week.
So I've been an LSU fan my entire life, right? And what this reminds me of is the end of the Les Miles era, where you've got talent on offense everywhere, and you're just completely incompetent. And I feel like, you know, it's like
I feel you. Yeah, we feel you.
That was very eloquent.
what's that phrase? It's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Yep. And I feel like that's what we're doing on offense. Like, it's just so unimaginative. Nothing works. I mean, I did a really poor job of explaining this, but it's just so frustrating.
Now, we got you, Zach.
I think the LSU analogy from a play-calling offensive scheme design standpoint is a really good analogy. Well, LSU did not evolve or change its offense from the Stone Age for 12 years, and all of a sudden, look what they did. They did it this year, and now look where they are. I think that's actually a decent analogy, and I think you want to go back to Malarkey and Robiskie. You want to go to LaFleur and Vrabel. You want to go to Arthur Smith. You pick any of them, it doesn't feel like any of them have dramatically shifted or changed the offense in any significant way.
Well, I mean, the common denominator in all that is the quarterback. He's been a quarterback for each coach. And, you know, whether it's they don't feel they can put enough on him to do different things, or, you know, the offensive coordinators are just not up to snuff. You know, I don't know which one it is. You know, but I do know that the quarterback has been a common denominator in all this. You know, you can fault Arthur Smith, just like the swing pass to Lewis. It was so blatant that's what they're going to do when they sent Lewis in motion and Marcus faked to him. It was so blatant. Everybody in the building, I think everybody across the NFL, even people that didn't watch the game but heard the play, they knew what was going to happen. They threw a screenplay to Deion Lewis, and he gained 0 yards.
So all the blind Titans
fans. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. The minute he went in motion, they didn't even try to disguise it. It was see ball, throw ball, tackle ball. That's what it was.
737-1025. Let's try Mike, who's next on Morning Drive. Mike, you go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. My question is primarily for Derek. I had to quit watching the game yesterday. It was just so miserable. But in watching the receivers, Derek, it seems like they are just being lazy with their routes. Looks like they're just kind of not making hard cuts to throw the backs off at all. And it seemed like they're just kind of rounding all the routes off, being lazy. And Marcus had time to throw the ball several occasions. And I don't know if it seemed like the receivers were just stopping where they were, and they didn't continue to try to get open. I just don't know. I mean, I've played a lot of ball and watched a lot of ball, and the receivers just are not, they're not, you know, making hard cuts to throw the backs off and get any kind of separation. Did you notice that at all?
And thank you for the call, Mike. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. And each time they showed a Titans completion, the defensive back was off 8 yards, 10 yards. Yeah. And
it's like prevent.
It's like pitch and catch. I mean, anybody can do that. They have good pass catchers, guys that can catch the ball. So when the defensive back is off, you know, 8-9 yards and backpedaling, then I can complete a 12-yard out. It's easy. What happens when the coverage gets a little tighter? What happens when the zone defense gets a little tighter? Are these receivers reading it right? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because here's the thing about receivers. Here's what separates the good ones from the great ones. Is we were always taught to read as we run. Read the defense as you're running. They're not going to stay the same. The good ones and the great ones find holes in defenses. They read it. It's a feel game for the receivers. That's the great ones do that. They feel it. They find a hole. Like, you can't guard them in the zone coverage because they're going to find a hole. They're going to get open versus press coverage. And I'm not seeing this consistently with these receivers. That's what I'm trying to figure out is it the quarterback that's not seeing it, or is it the receivers? Are they not reading the coverage as they run? I don't know which one it is, and maybe we got a glimpse of it Vrabel said, you know, a couple weeks ago. Receivers got to get open, you know, yada yada yada. And I took it as, man, he can't say that. But now I'm starting to realize, like, he might just be right because he sees it firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you'll see it when you do your D-Mace dissection when we get to the middle of the week of the All-22, because We need answers. 615-737-1025 is the number. More Titans calls when we come back, and then we will certainly get to Marcus Mariota and his benching yesterday. In came Ryan Tannehill. It didn't really get much better. We're back after this on Morning Drive. 6:32, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you here on a Titans fallout, Titans reaction Monday. They lose to the Denver Broncos 16-0, falling to 2-4 on the year. And of course, taking your calls all morning long, 615-737-1025. Let's get right back to your calls. Chris is next on Morning Drive. Chris, you go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. What's happening?
Well, you know what? First of all, to Derek, to D-Mace, I was the one that called and said you should have worn a Michigan apron if they lost to Michigan State. And I was tripping with you about Michigan State. Sir, I apologize for that. I'm glad I get the call back and make amends for that. But a couple of things.
Not a good weekend for Michigan State this weekend.
Yeah,
I understand, but I'm not going to harp on that because, you know what, D-Mace, we get to laugh about this. It felt like watching a comedy, Death at a Funeral. It just seemed like, as Stephen A. Smith would say, what can go wrong will go wrong when it comes to the Tennessee Titans offense. It's embarrassing and humiliating. The Marcus Mariota era, or Suckiota as I like to call him, is over. It's over. And it was evident yesterday. 7 of 15, 63 yards in two quarters and two series. Tannehill, yeah, he got sacked four times, but he at least moved the ball a little bit, and had 144 yards. Mm. But this, I mean, if it were one or two players on this team, I would say it's those players. But when an entire unit looks bad, you got to look at coaching. Keith Carter, as you said, Braden, I don't know how this guy still has a job. I do not know. I mean, he should have been fired 2 weeks ago, but it is more evident now than you could ever know that something needs to change. Arthur Smith seems like he is a bit in over his head. I know he's trying, but it just seems like the job may be a bit too big for him, if I may say. And, you know, feel free to correct me.
No, Chris, you're 100% spot on.
In fact, Chris, I think that's the phrase we use during the commercial break is that we're, you know, again, our concern about Arthur Smith is that he's a tight ends coach. I mean, that's the concern. Again, that probably isn't fair because six games isn't enough time to really truly evaluate anything. But, I mean, does anything through six games tell you that this guy's going to all of a sudden reinvent the modern NFL passing attack and turn this team into a juggernaut on offense? I mean, no. Again, it's not all his fault. The offensive line is the biggest glaring weakness here. I mean, the offensive line is the concern. I will push back on one thing. There will be a large and long and lengthy conversation by everyone and their mother about what the Marcus Mariota era was with the Tennessee Titans, and bust is not one of the words you can actually use to describe Marcus Mariota. It's just not. Paxton Lynch is a bust. Right? Like, EJ Manuel is a bust. Guys that started for less than a season. Johnny Manziel is a bust in the first round. This is a guy who had a fantastic first two seasons. In his third season, he led your team to their first ever playoff win in more than a decade. You cannot call Marcus Mariota a bust. He is broken right now. He's broken. The organization broke him. Whether it's the coordinators or the offensive line or himself not evolving, literally the Jacksonville Jaguars broke his leg. Like, he has not, ever since that moment, he has been a different player. And he, yesterday it all came to a head, and he played his worst game I think I've ever seen him play as a Titan quarterback. He's broken. He still gives you probably the best chance to win coming up this weekend because Ryan Tannehill is not any better, and we tried to tell you this, but he's broken. I don't know what else there is to say about him. He is not the same player that he was 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. So I don't want to hear this, the entire era has been worthless, and he's a bust, and it's terrible. That's factually untrue. But he is completely broken right now because yesterday there were open receivers and he missed them. He's seeing ghosts on the offensive line. The offensive line is sacking, allowing him to be completely pummeled. And when he does have time, he can't find an open receiver. It's just there's no explanation for what he's just broken. I don't think there's another word to describe whether it's mentally or physically or whatever, he's just broken. And that probably does mean the end of it.
It is.
I don't know what that means. Again, that's a totally different conversation than who should start this week, because there are still 10 football games to go this year, and you still have to try to win 10 football games. And Ryan Tannehill does not give you a better chance to win.
But to be honest, when you look at this team right now, between the deficiencies at quarterback, the offensive line woes, the head coach, the offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, the special teams, they have drastically far too many flaws to win enough games to get to the playoffs. So while they might not be mathematically out of it, in my opinion, for all intents and purposes, this season is over. Because there's 10 games to go. They would need to win at least 7 to get to 9-7. Mm-hmm. Does it look like this team is capable of winning 70% of their games?
I mean,
the answer is no.
No, but it could happen. But
it's the NFL. You never know.
You know, the season's not over. But I've seen this book written before. I've read this chapter before on the team. The offense not playing well. You know, the defense is lights out. You know, you have a change, and then the offense kicks it in gear. I'm not saying they're firing Arthur Smith. I'm not saying that. But the offenses that I've been a part of, when we've had problems like that, there's been a change. And either it's a change at play calling or a change at quarterback. And we seem to play better. Not to say that, the league got worse. We just seem to play better. We started off, I can remember starting off, and our offense was horrible in Baltimore. We fired our offensive coordinator, and then we make it to the playoffs.
How long into the season did that happen?
I think we were maybe 5 games into the season somewhere. It was right during a break, a bye week, and our offense was dismal. And they had to make a change. And, you know, Billick fired the offensive coordinator, and he took over. And not to say that we became this juggernaut, but I think we became more of a team. I think by the organization doing that, we felt that, okay, at least they're trying to do something to jumpstart this offense. The worst part you can do, and you know, that's why Vrabel made the change. That's why Vrabel, you know, cut the place kicker. Because when you walk through a locker room and you see the problems and you don't address the problems, players become agitated. Players stop playing for you. Players don't respect you as a head coach because they're like, listen, you see the problems, I see the problems, and you're not doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. Well, Vrabel said yesterday, I see the problem, and the problem is the quarterback. I need to make a change. I saw the problem the last week, and it was a place kicker. I cut him, and I got me a new place kicker. This might, and I think they might continue to go with Tannehill, because this might be what the offense need, a jump start. Because everybody, and I told y'all this before. Oh, everybody loves Marcus. He's the guy. Listen. Guys ain't going to come out and tell you he's not the guy. Guys won't say that because they won't do that, because then that causes problems. But deep down, believe me, I've heard it. Deep down, he's not the guy. He's not. And I'm not saying he can't start for someone else, but he's not the guy for this team.
They're also not walking around saying Tannehill's the guy.
No. But what I'm saying is this.
Right.
But you do need to send a message.
When Tannehill gets thrown in there.
He got benched.
When Tannehill gets thrown in there is a shot of energy to everybody. And I don't know how they're going to react next game if Tannehill plays, but I'm telling you from a player's perspective, once you make that change, because we're all looking at this mess together, and if we're looking at the quarterback and we're saying deep down, like, he's not the guy, gosh, but publicly, we're like, yeah, that's my buddy. We eventually are looking and hoping that the head coach say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to make the change. And now, as a player, I don't have to say anything.
Right.
If you ask me, I'm going to say the coach did what's best for the team. And deep down, I'm like, damn, I'm glad he did it.
Well, and it doesn't mean he's going to do the same thing coming up this weekend.
No, we like, don't.
We don't know. Now, he left it wide open yesterday when asked about it. He said, he was asked about a decision on the quarterback, and he basically said, "Well, I'll let you guys know as soon as I know." So he did not come out and definitively say Ryan Tannehill will start or Marcus Mariota will start. He did not say either of those things yesterday. But here's what Ryan Tannehill did on his first three drives: 14 plays, 28 yards, two punts, and a turnover on downs. He gained 2 yards a play.
I'm telling you, Tannehill's a better quarterback today than Marcus. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I'm gonna tell you definitively.
And okay, I disagree, but okay.
Marcus, I like Marcus, but today Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback. He gives you a better opportunity to win a football game. Everybody, Marcus does some really good things, but at this stage of the game, Tannehill gives you a better. Because you said it, Marcus is broken. He's done. Tannehill gives, whether you think Tannehill is better or not, that's a different story.
Right.
But Tannehill gives you a better opportunity to win today because he doesn't have that baggage
that Marcus has.
He's not sort of broken like Marcus.
I still don't, you may be 100% right on that because, again, I'm with you. Like, I watched a broken player who is not the same player as he was 2 years ago for this team. And that's the organization's fault as much as it is his. But again, Ryan Tannehill was sacked 4 times yesterday and threw an interception. It wasn't like the offense did anything. The only yards they gained was when Denver was playing literally 15 yards off the line of scrimmage in prevent defense. Is the only reason the Titans went down the field on that final drive. And he still threw an interception on a 3rd and 13. Like, it's the offense wasn't any better. We will get into a really great, subtle debate about the differences between the two of them because Roger Saffold had a great answer yesterday after the game as to why what are the differences between he and Ryan Tannehill, Marcus and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill will let it rip in the pocket. The question is, where does it go? And that's the concern. And Mariota's very good at protecting the football. Tannehill is not. But maybe he slings it, and maybe that's what they need. And we'll debate that for the next 5 days until Vrabel announces a starter until the game comes. But the offense was not any better with Ryan Tannehill yesterday. I saw an offensive line that's atrocious. They can't run the football. They had negative plays on half of the plays. Basically, Ryan Tannehill was in the game. Like, nothing changed. Nothing changed. They got the quarterback was sacked, and they went 3 and out twice. Like, it's the exact same thing. And that, you know, it just sucks if you're a Titans fan because you don't really have a solution right now.
615-737-1025, the number, 737-1025. We will come back, continue on taking your Titans calls, 737-1025. We're back after this on ESPN, 1025 The Game. 649, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at the top of the hour. Your calls in 1 second. If I'm Mike Vrabel, though, and I know he said, you know, we'll figure it out, mm-hmm. we'll see about the quarterback situation for the foreseeable future, short term, and I don't know how long it would last, and I think I already know the answer as to what Tannehill is, but I still need to see him in Nashville with my own two eyes, live and in living color. I think you need to get him prepared to start for this Chargers game and see what he does. What's the downside of doing so?
Yeah, absolutely right. I think moving forward, Tannehill needs to be the guy. And you kind of go from there. Because I don't know. You're going against the Chargers defense. The Chargers just lost this weekend, but still. Their defense is pretty good. And, you know, are you going to continue to let this guy get beat up on, meaning Marcus? And he's already a guy that don't pull the trigger anyway. Now he's getting hit and pushed around. You think he's going to pull the trigger even more now?
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, if I'm them, I'm going with Tannehill and I'm sticking with Tannehill. And I think, I really do think today, and not to say now, I mean, this is not a debate on who's better, the quarterback, Marcus or Tannehill. I mean, both of them are in a position right now where they're both trying to earn a starting job next year. So obviously, you know, neither one of them are good enough to solidify a job, but they can be. If he just gives them the best opportunity to win. I'm not saying that he's better than Marcus, and I'm not saying Marcus is better than him. I'm just saying he gives the Tennessee Titans a better opportunity to win today. That's all I'm saying.
And people, reasonable people, can disagree on that. Like, I still think Marcus gives them a better chance to win But that's because I don't think Ryan Tannehill really gives you any difference. Now, your point, Nick, is valid. What's there to lose from making the switch? Probably nothing. Because at this point, you're 2-4, and you know your season. Again, I think that you still are not quitting on the season. That's the biggest issue. You have to win football games now. You have a defense that gives you a chance to win every single Sunday. And so you still have to sort of look at this season as a short window of time and saying, all right, we've got to evaluate everything else then. We've got to evaluate the offensive coordinator. We've got to evaluate the offensive line coach. We've got to evaluate the receiving core. You know, everybody needs to be evaluated. Derrick Henry, like, look at the free agents that are coming off this team. Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry, Logan Ryan. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's coming off this team at the end of the year that they need to evaluate to make sure they know what they're going to do moving forward. Those are real problems at the end of the year. But you still got to win today. And I don't see how, like, again, I think that, Derek, you make the best point that Tannehill at least isn't broken, and he fires the football out of the pocket more so than Marcus does. The problem is where does it go, and how productive is that going to be? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that right now. I don't think Vrabel knows the answer.
Last night on Sunday Night Football, the Los Angeles Chargers lost to a third-string Steeler quarterback by the name of Devlin Hodges.
Yeah, Duck.
Say that again?
Old Duck.
Devlin Duck Hodges.
He's two-time duck calling champion. Do you see that? In the state of Alabama. That's your boy, Marquise and Nick.
I mean, if we can't get a more productive offense with Tannehill or Mariota than Devlin Hodges.
He's the 2018 duck calling state champion of Alabama. Don't talk about old Duck Hodges that way. Come on now.
He's a legend in my neck of the woods.
Look, Dak Prescott looked like garbage yesterday. Jared Goff threw for 79 yards yesterday. Like, football wasn't good yesterday. The quarterbacks were atrocious. I still think you can win some football games this year. The question maybe now is, do you want to?
we might be getting to that point.
I still think you compete, man. I just don't like quitting on seasons, and I think there are good arguments to be made for both quarterbacks moving forward. I still think I just personally don't think Ryan Tannehill is all that good. That's just it. I just don't think he's the better player, and we can all disagree or agree on that, and that's just an opinion. So
7371025. C-Rod is next on Morning Drive. What's up, C-Rod?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man, I got some good news and bad news. Which one y'all want first?
Bad.
The bad news is, man, that we done seen this before as far as how the quarterback play goes. I'm not saying Marcus. Now, I got Marcus. Marcus is my guy, but he's not everybody's guy. And it's the problem, man. We have the whole offense to look at. It's not just the quarterbacks, not just the receivers. It's everybody as a whole that's got to come together, man. And the bad thing about it is that if we don't keep winning, I got to convince my wife to keep paying cash for my season ticket, man. Man, I'm telling you, man, yesterday, man, she was looking for another investment, man, you know?
Yeah, if you're looking at Titans tickets the rest of the year as a stock, I think he lost a few dollars.
Oh, man, I feel for him. His wife, like, we giving these tickets up. We going another place for our money.
The problem is you got to wait for him to win a game and then sell them.
Oh, man, that was funny.
It never happened. Who knows?
I mean, forget about investing your money in this team. I don't know how you invest your time in them.
No, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, this team has been so inconsistent, and the offense, other than, you know, the first game of the season, and even then, we told the people, like, listen, that was a facade. It was sort of like Fugazi. It was just
I love that word.
And people looked at it, oh, this offense, and no, it wasn't. No, if you take away the long run, and I know you can't take away the long run, but if you take away the long pass, the short pass and long run by Derrick Henry, that offense was struggling to move the ball still against a good Brown defense.
But they were great against the Falcons, D.
But they, yeah.
Like everyone else in America.
Exactly. Everyone's great against the Falcons. Goodness.
Get healthy against the Falcons.
If you want to have a good game, play the Falcons, okay? You want to have a good game. But after that, in between those games, this offense has just been inept. And if it's not the offensive line, it's the quarterback. If it's not the quarterback, it's the receivers. One thing it hasn't been, and I can't commend, you know, the Titans on this, it hasn't been the run game. They found a way to run the ball, even though yesterday it was tough to run the football. But when you can't pass it and you become one-dimensional, that's what happens. But if it's not the coach calling plays, is the offensive line not blocking, is the quarterback not seeing receivers, is receivers not getting open, is receivers dropping balls? I mean, you can't – we always say this in football. It's – that one little problem can become eventually
a big problem, because that one problem, if you don't handle it, it filters through the system and it becomes 1, 2, 3, 4 problems. Defense can have one problem and still have a hell of a game. The offense can't operate that way. They have one problem. It's a breakdown everywhere.
737-1025. Chad is next on Morning Drive. What's up, Chad?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
What's up, man?
So, Titan Nation in the locker room might not like what I'm saying, but it's written on their face. When you look at a lot of their pregame or postgame press conferences and stuff like that, it's on their face. It's been on their face for like a couple of weeks. He's missing throws. His base is off. His fundamentals isn't there. It's time to bitch him. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, I love Marcus Mariota. He's a good guy. He looks like he's a good guy. But to Art's defense, we don't have a good player personnel. We don't have we've never had an identity on offense for like years. You know, and I've been a fan since I was 5. Like, and I watched them go to the Super Bowl and lose, you know, a yard short. And we don't have no identity. It's time to move on. It seems like every draft we make a mistake in the draft, and then it leads over to the season. You got to do something different.
Man, there's a lot to dissect there.
He's right about the identity thing.
I'm with you. I think the identity thing is correct.
What are they?
And that goes to 5 coordinators in 6 years or whatever it is. This is what's really frustrating with the offense. If you look at the individual athletes, they're not bad. Taylor Lewan, individually as an athlete, is one of the better left tackles. You know, Jack Conklin, you know, Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Delanie Walker, Jonnu Smith, Deion Lewis. You look at the collection of skill weapons, and it's not the Chiefs. It's not one of these elite teams, but these are good athletes. These are good. They're way better than this team had 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. They are all talented, athletic players who, when given the opportunity and schemed into the right places, will make plays. And I just think the offensive line is the main issue here. Ryan Tannehill went into the game yesterday and got sacked 4 times. It wasn't the quarterback yesterday entirely. It's the what has been the issue through all 6 games. And the issue through all 6 games has been the offensive line. Roger Saffold, $44 million. What are you talking about? Ben Jones and Nate Davis is a rookie now starting in the second game. Jack Conklin's not under contract and probably needs to get moved to a different position. Maybe you can get Dennis Kelly into the game. You have to fix the offensive line. All of this starts with the – I don't care if Joe Montana and Tom Brady are standing back there behind that offensive line. They are not going to win. Aaron Rodgers, when he has a bad offensive line, trust me, is not a good quarterback. I've seen the Packers miss the playoffs multiple years in a row because the offensive line is the problem. That's the thing that draws all these players together. If they have an offensive line, all these players look better. Corey Davis is better than his numbers. Delanie Walker is better than his numbers. The offensive line is the issue.
Coming up next, we will chat with our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2, and then we'll come right back to your Titans call. So if you're on hold, hang tight. We'll come back to you in just a little bit. Corey Curtis, News 2, next on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.